Is that better?
Oh my goodness me, wakey, wakey, rise and shine. Is that a bit better now? Is that okay? Okay, fantastic. I'd like to start this morning, apart from waking you up, by sharing an extract of one of my most favourite poems with you. Libby's going to smile. It's called Albert and the Lion. There's a famous seaside place called Blackpool that's noted for fresh air and fun. And Mr. and Mrs. Ramsbottom went there with young Albert, their son. A fine little lad were young Albert, all dressed in his best, quite a swell, with his stick, with his horse's head handle, the finest that Woolworths could sell. They didn't think much to the ocean. The waves, they were fiddling and small. There were no wrecks. Nobody drowned. In fact, nothing to laugh at all. So seeking for further amusement, they paid and went into the zoo, where there were lions and tigers and camels, old ale and sandwiches too. There were one great big lion called Wallace. His face were all covered with scars. He lay in a somnolent posture with a side of his face on the bars. Now Albert had heard about lions and how they was ferocious and wild. Well, to see Wallace, lions so peaceful, didn't seem right to the child. So straightway, the brave little fella, not showing a morsel of fear, took his stick with his horse's head handle and shoved it in Wallace's ear. I'd love to tell you the rest of it, but I can't, otherwise it'll go on for far too long. If you want to read the rest of it, look it up. It's just such a gem of a funny poem. Now, I'm a Dorset girl. That is it. And at the time I learnt this poem, I'd lived all my life in Dorset. And I thought that anywhere north of Bristol was this kind of strange and distant land called up north. So how do I know this poem with what is possibly a rather dodgy Wigan accent? Well, I learnt this poem from my friend Claire. And Claire learned the poem from her nana. Her nana, who came from Wigan, and her lovely nana, true to her roots, taught her this poem, complete with actions, in her Wigan accent. It was her party piece, and every year in the church I grew up in, we'd go away as a whole church family for a weekend away, and it was brilliant. Old, young, we'd talk together, we'd eat together, we'd worship together, we'd laugh together, go for walks, it was fantastic. And on a Saturday night, there'd always be that entertainment evening with brilliant and not so brilliant sketches, poems, all sorts. It was fantastic. And Claire, my friend, who'd learned this poem by heart, would recite it, complete with props. And I was her friend, so I did the props. And we spent quite a bit of time practicing to get it just right. And by spending all that time with her, I learnt the poem. But not just the words themselves. I learnt it with the same accent and intonation and gestures that Claire's nan had taught her. Now, I've never been to Wigan. I can't really do that accent. But in that poem, I become a representation of Claire's nana, complete with her voice and her gestures, because I spent so much time with Claire. Now, what does this all have to do with today's reading? Well, we're going to be hearing some words of Jesus, and I'd like just to start by putting them into context. We're picking up the story where Jesus and his disciples are together sharing the Passover meal. The disciples at this point are probably pretty bewildered. They'd spent the last 3 years living alongside Jesus, walking with him, eating with him, talking, listening, imitating him, learning what it means to be Jesus, and learning to live and talk like him. Jesus, their rabbi, had just knelt and washed their feet. And as the water dried on their toes, they were listening once more to Jesus speak. Let's listen in on their conversation.
"I'm going to my Father," said Jesus to his friends. Said Jesus, "I'm going away, but there are rooms in his house, more rooms than you can count, and I promise to take you there one day."
"But how will we get there?" asked Jesus' friend, Thomas.
Said Thomas,
"Show us, we pray. Don't leave us alone. We don't know where we're going. So how can we know the way?"
"I am the way," said Jesus to his friends. Said Jesus, "I am the way. The Father's life and the Father's truth is in all I do and say."
"Then show us the Father," said Jesus' friend, Philip. Said Philip, "Then all will be well."
"If you've seen me," said Jesus, "you've seen him too. We've been together for years. Can't you tell?"
"I'm in the Father,"
said Jesus to his friends. Said Jesus, "He's in me too, in the words I say, in the stories I tell, and in the miracles you've seen me do."
"You will not be orphans," said Jesus to his friends.
Said Jesus, "You won't be alone. My Father will send you another companion, so you will not be on your own. His Spirit will live within you," said Jesus. Said Jesus, "Within you he'll be. Then we'll all be one. Father, Spirit, Son, together for eternity."
Thank you, Jess. "I am the way. The Father's life and the Father's truth is in all I do and say. I'm in the Father, he's in me too, in the words I say, in the stories I tell, in the miracles you've seen me do." Or as we read in the Bible, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let's just read that together. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So today we're going to focus on two important things that Jesus told his disciples in that final teaching he gave before he was arrested and crucified. He said what we've just said together: "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well." And then later on in verses 26 and 27 of John 14, we read, "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I wonder what you hear when you hear those words. What comes to mind? The word God in our culture can mean a lot of things. If I was to stop and ask each of you who God is and what God is like, I reckon I'd actually get, if you dug just beyond the surface, a whole range of answers. It might depend on what you've been taught, what you've experienced in your life, and quite possibly how you're feeling about God right now. The Bible makes it very clear, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Get to know Jesus. Jesus is the representation of God's truest essence and being. So to find out what he said, what he did, how he responded to different situations and people. What was Jesus' purpose and character? What made him angry? What did he weep over? What did he value? What did he think was important? There we discover what God is like. So let's remind ourselves for a moment of who Jesus is. Now, there's a great summary of who Jesus is in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, and I commend it to you to go home and read it over your meal table at lunchtime today. One of the things it says is that Jesus is the exact imprint or representation of God's nature. Now, the Greek word used here is charakter, from which we get the English word character. Now, the word charakter means imprint or mould and was a word used to describe a tool in ancient coin making. There's a picture up on the screen there of an ancient Greek coin. And on one side of this particular coin, you can see the tools that were used in making these ancient coins. To make a coin in those days, an artist would have first made a carving of a symbol. And in Jesus' day, that would have probably been the portrait of an emperor. Of course, in the days before photographs and TV, most people wouldn't know what the emperor looked like. But the coin would have a representation of what the emperor was like on it. And by having the portrait of the emperor on the coin, they saw the coin as embodying the attributes of that person. So the artist would make a mould, an imprint, a character, an exact representation. And in Hebrews, Jesus is described as the character of God's very being. He shows us who have never seen God what God is like, and he carries God's attributes with him. During communion time, I'm going to be asking you to take a piece of clay after you've gone up for communion. We've got some over there. And to put your thumbprint into it as a reminder that we are called to be God's character, his imprint, his representation in the world around us. And to take that home, put it somewhere where you can see. Jesus is the way to know God. He is the exact representation of God. So back to John 14. Jesus said to his disciples, "You know me. You've lived alongside me. You've joined in with what I'm doing. You've seen how I respond in different situations. You've seen what makes me angry. You've seen what makes me laugh. You've seen how I respond to people. You know what I'm like. And I am the exact representation of God." Jesus sees what God does, and he does that. He exactly represents that in this context on earth. Now, Jesus said, "I am the way." To know God himself, we need to know Jesus. No one else has ever or will ever exactly represent God to us. No one else can lead us to God himself. Now, sin is a problem. And however uncomfortable it might make us feel to acknowledge that truth, sin is our problem, yours and mine. And the effects of sin are real. Could a few people be willing to just come up? And I want you to just be willing to link arms. Charlie, would you be willing to come up? Ollie, Rich, could you come up? Peter, would you be willing to as well? Hannah, could you? Now, don't take it personally, guys. I just want you, come on, Billy. I just want you to represent some issues of sin. Could you link arms around each other really strong? I'm going to stand in the middle of this. Because you see, sin traps us. You're going to have to huddle right round. I am stuck here. Thank you. We've got guilt. We've got despair. We've got shame. We've got brokenness. We've got suffering. We've got isolation. I am finding it hard to see out. I am trapped. Now, however comfortable we may try and make that space around us, however beautiful we might try and make it, actually the reality is that we are all stuck in the effects of sin in our own lives and in this world. And it's real. They're real problems. I'm trapped here. The only person who can free us is Jesus.
Alan, that's you. Thanks.
And Jesus said, I am the way. Now, it's going to be hard to squeeze in, but could you just let Alan through? Because, you see, when Jesus... Thank you. Huddle back up. He hasn't broken it yet. When Jesus went to the cross, he entered into our brokenness. He entered into the effects of sin in our lives. And it was by his death and then resurrection that he was able, the only one who could, to break that power, to break that closed wall, and make a way for us so that we can follow him into freedom and into life with God. Thank you very much, chaps. You can sit back down again. But it's really important that we recognise that. Only Jesus is the way to break us out of that closed wall of suffering and sin and death, so that we are free to be the people that God has always created and purposed us to be. Jesus didn't say, I can show you a way. He didn't say, I can show you a way. He said, I am the way. And he said, I am the truth. Not just a prophet or a lawgiver giving us kind of truths about God. He is the lived truth of God. Jesus said, I am the life. He created all life. He's the source of all life. And he came that we might have life and have it to the full. We're created by God to know him and to enjoy him, to be free to do that. And only through Jesus, God himself, shown to us in a way that we can see and understand, only through Jesus' sacrifice and resurrected life, is relationship with God possible. Now, I can learn what Jesus is like by reading his words and actions in the Bible. You can do that too. And that's why it's so important to regularly read the Bible in a translation we can understand. But we need more than that too. Jesus also told his disciples that once he left them, he wouldn't leave them on their own. He promised in the Holy Spirit sent by God the Father to teach them, to fill them, to empower them. And all followers of Jesus, that's you and me, by the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, carry Jesus's presence with us. That's not an optional extra, that's just part of following God. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and we live Holy Spirit empowered lives, we represent, become God's character. We represent what Jesus is like. And that's one of the reasons why meeting together at church and in Bible study groups in kids' groups is so important. We can see in each other what it means to follow Jesus in our lives, here in Westcott, in Dorking. And through the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, we can be representations of what God is like in our own places, in our own context, in our homes, in this village, on holiday, at work, on the football field, wherever we find ourselves, we carry Jesus' presence with us by his Spirit. Now, on our church vision day, a foundational idea kept coming through. Keep the main thing the main thing. And Jesus is the main thing. The exact representation of God on earth. And we are to represent him in our life as a church, in our lives as a whole. So back to Claire and her Nana and Albert and the lion. I know that poem now because I spent time with Claire. And by spending all that time with her, intentionally participating in that poem with her, I learned it. But not just the words, the actions, the intonation, the gestures that Claire's Nan had taught her. I've never been to Wigan, but in that poem, I become a representation of Claire's Nana because I spent so much time with Claire. And we've all got a choice to make, to follow Jesus, to learn what he's like, to allow his Holy Spirit to fill, to mould, to shape us. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The way to knowing God for ourselves. And it's not an add-on to life. It's a whole life commitment. It's not just a can I get into heaven thing. It's about allowing God to transform our lives now and into eternity with him in heaven. Allowing God to mould us into his character, representing him in the places we find ourselves. Let's just take a moment in quiet reflection to be open to the Holy Spirit and what he might want to say to us this morning. I wonder, what is good news for you in what you have heard this morning? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. There's a prayer. I'd love us to read together. Just take a moment to read it for yourself. We're thanking God for calling us to follow him. We're saying that we believe he's the way, the truth, and the life. If you are sitting here and you think, I'm not sure I can really say that to God yet, tell him about that. Be honest with him about that. Maybe you want to believe that, but you're not quite there yet. Give that to God. We're saying that we choose to put our trust in him, and we want to walk closely with him each day. So if you're able to say these words for yourself, or just if you want to be able to, let's say these words together. Lord Jesus, thank you for calling us to follow you. We believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Today we choose to put our trust in you. Help us to walk closely with you each day. Thank you for making it possible for us to have eternal life. Amen.